But David and Goliath, and of course, Goliath caused a storm in his time. No one could defeat him because of his size and his strength, and he caused problems for everyone. But a young man with a smooth pebble stilled that storm. How the mighty can be fallen. Talking about storms today, and the power of God is in this place today, and I don't want anyone to miss out on that power. There's a map up here of the Mediterranean Sea, and we can see over this side Israel, which was really the crux of the Bible. Got from the very beginning, and from Israel we've got all the way back through Greece, Macedonia, Italy, right round as far as Spain, and then coming around this side we've got Egypt and we've got Libya. And so much of life in the Bible takes place in and around the Mediterranean Sea. And in the Old Testament, you can read about Egypt quite a bit because Moses took the people from there, the Exodus from Egypt. And even in the New Testament, Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, they had to fled out to Egypt so that King Herod wouldn't find them and destroy the baby Jesus. And when we come to the New Testament, we can read about Paul and his companions and how they spread the gospel far and wide, which is remarkable because he was the one that was persecuting the Christians. And it just goes to show how you can change whatever your circumstances. Now, the Sea of Galilee in Israel was about 28 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea. And the Sea of Galilee often has stormy weather. And the cool air from the Mediterranean Sea passes through the narrow passages of the mountains and clashes with the hot, humid air lying over the Sea of Galilee. And hence, stormy weather often can occur. Now, back in June, Sue and I were in Corfu, which is a small island off the coast of Greece. And as usual, you generally have beautiful weather there. But we were told that a storm was due on the Monday of the second week. Now, we've experienced storms there before, and they sort of come and go. And where we were staying was right beside the beach. Literally, you came out the hotel, crossed the road, and you were on the beach. On this particular Monday, the rain started, the wind got up, and normally the sea is completely flat. There's barely a ripple. It's in a curved bay. And it's one of those beaches where the tide doesn't really come out and doesn't go back at all. It virtually seems to stay the same. But all of a sudden, when the wind got up and the rain, you looked at the sea and it was a bit like being down in Newquay in Cornwall. You could have surfed. That was the power of God that was moving. And looking out of the dining room, the storm hit with intensity like I've never seen before. One of our Greek friends had a taverna very near to the beach and had 24 large straw umbrellas and 48 sunbeds beside them. In a few minutes, the 10 sets closest to the sea were just wiped out into the sea, and no one could stop that power at all. After 3 hours, the rain and the wind subsided, and we were able to go out and look at the damage. One local shop where you could hire mopeds, quad bikes, and scooters, all those machines were completely covered with mud that had been washed down by the ferocious rain from the hillside and just covered everything. Some of the tavernas had their foundations exposed and some of it washed away. We had to feel for our Greek friends and all the tavernas and the businesses. But we learnt a valuable lesson. We said how sorry we were that they'd had all this damage. But they just shrugged their shoulders and said, yes, but no one lost their life. By the grace of God, we will get through it. Material things can be replaced, but lives cannot be replaced. And with that, our Greek friends hosed down everywhere in the diner and started all over again. And on that Monday, on the island of Corfu, for 3 hours, no planes could land. Because if the pilot cannot see from 500 meters height the full runway, health and safety says that they cannot land. And many planes were diverted to Thessalonica. And Thessalonica is in the Bible many times, and two of Paul's books are written to the church there. And in the Bible, the storm is a symbol of many different things. Non-destructive wind is an apt picture of the presence of God, because God is powerful, but yet unseen. And when God's Spirit came at Pentecost, the accompanying sign was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Storms do remind us that there are forces much stronger than us. And we need a God who is stronger than the storm. And when we see someone rescued from a storm, it reminds us of the salvation of God. Psalm 18 says, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. In Psalm 34, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Now, while we don't experience quite so intense the storms in this country, nevertheless, we can experience our own storms in our lives. There is the work in situations, the difficulty of getting a job that we don't really experience quite so it's. Let's try that again. The difficulty of getting a job, which sometimes intensifies after many, many applications. And then the frustration that many employers, the difficulty of getting a job, which sometimes intensifies after many, many applications. And the frustrations when some employers don't even acknowledge your application.
family situations. These can be stormy, especially when you have different generations. So our daughters and son have different ideas to my generation. And our grandchildren think even different. And arguments and disagreements can break up families. Sometimes it can tear them to pieces. And sometimes it takes months, years, decades before there's any reconciliation. Technology situations. Here's another stormy minefield, very much in the news at the moment. In everything, there is good and there is bad. And the internet is great for getting information. But then, of course, there is also the bad side. And two of the big problem areas at the moment are the bullying and self-harming websites. And many parents are battling the storm of how they can cope with these problems. Facebook. All I'm going to say on that is, are we really careful not to be hurtful when we put something on there? The alcohol, drugs, and legal high situations. We've always had alcohol and drugs, and now we have legal highs as well, even though they've been banned. And yes, like alcohol and drugs, you may take it and have that initial buzz at first. But the scorpion sting in the tail can drag you deeper and deeper into your own storm. It's the critical situations. We live in an age where society loves to criticize. You're not good enough. You're a waste of time. You'll never make it. We should be building people up, not knocking them down. You know, Rochelle just testified this morning what God can do, how he can lift you up. And that's what we're in the business of, is lifting people up, not knocking them down. And my friends, in the eyes and heart and mind of Jesus, you are good enough and you will make it through whatever storm you may be going through at any time in your life. You may separate yourself from Jesus, but Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The crisis situations of life have often been compared to stormy seas. They come upon us whether we like it or not. They knock us around and threaten all our stability and security, and we don't know how long they will last. At least that's how a storm at sea would be for most of us. But as we shall see, for Jesus, it was just a chance to grab 40 winks. We're going to look at a storm that Jesus and his disciples were in. So come with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verses 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Amen. I always think that this passage shows Jesus so human as each one of us, even though he was the Son of God. Now, when you read chapter 4 from the beginning right through to this passage here, we see that Jesus has spent all day with the people teaching them. And he would be tired because now we've got to the evening time. He would have been tired and worn out. Maybe he hadn't even eaten. We don't know that. But here we see him sleeping on a cushion. And I believe that this is the only time in the Bible that we read that Jesus was asleep. A storm comes up. Now you would think that Peter, Andrew, James and John, being fishermen, would all be used to storms. But no, panic sets in. And in this passage from Mark, you can sense that there is fear in the disciples' heart. Now we know who Jesus is, and we know the end of the story. But the disciples didn't know that at this stage. The fear of the boat being swamped by the sea. The fear of who is this Jesus. In a moment of crisis, their faith fails, and a gap is created between them and Jesus. But in that storm, Jesus was there, and Jesus is here this morning. Now, the disciples could have woke Jesus and sort of said, "Teacher, we need some help, and we know you can save us." No. What they did was to accuse Jesus of not caring. And sometimes maybe we accuse God of not caring when we ask, "Why is God letting this happen to me?" You see, in order to get past the fear, the disciples have to recognize that Jesus is more than an ordinary human being who just happens to have these unusual abilities to preach and to heal. They have to understand and acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. The miracle of calming the storm was a way that Jesus could establish and increase the disciples' faith in him. And Jesus wants to establish and increase your faith, that you would grow closer to him as well. or even that you might have a reconciliation with him today. Or even the fact that you might come to know this Jesus who can make your life so different. Now, there are times when we are fearful, but we are not alone. God is with us. The Holy Spirit is within you, not just when things are good or when things are bad. God says, be still, be at peace, and know that I am God. Last Sunday, John Smallwood in his sermon spoke partly on the prodigal son and his return to his father. And we know from the story that the son asked for half his father's fortune, and he took it away and squandered it on wine, women, song, etc., etc. But it left him in the storm of nothing but emptiness. The only way out was to reconcile with his father. And that he did. So what's your situation or your storm that you're battling with? You can remain in it, but you're not going to get out of the storm. Or you can be reconciled today. If something is separating you from Jesus, today is the day that you can sort it out. So may the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit keep your minds and hearts in Jesus, who holds us in his hands and cares more than we could ever imagine. Amen. Each one of us is a work in progress.